Name of Jesus. That's the greeting before I say Happy Women's Day. It's supposed to be Happy Mother's Day, but not all women are mothers, and so we'll just make it Happy Women's Day and bless all of you women and men. Greetings to our visitors today on this beautiful, beautiful, I call it a summer day. We don't get a long summer in northern Minnesota, so we take every day we can get. A few announcements before we begin. There's an insert, as you noticed, in your bulletin, and I think it's self-explanatory. Pastor Mike Tift of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, who is just, their church is just two blocks north of us here, and we've kind of been sister churches. They are free Lutheran churches. We've shared picnics together and other activities, and he had a medical episode and accumulated some medical bills. And as you, most of you know, we took an offering for Pastor Mike. Medical bills a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, amounted to over $600 toward his medical bills, and they are putting on a bingo event on Saturday, if you are interested in bingo, and to help out toward his medical bills. And they'll be hosting that at the church, by the way. On Wednesday this week is church council. Those of you on the council, we have a hefty agenda to deal with. Some surprise issues as well. And then, if you notice on the right-hand side, our dear friend Pastor Dan, his son Isaac, is graduating, and so they are having a graduation celebration, what I call an open house, on Saturday at the Virginia Bible Chapel in the afternoon from 1 to 3. And then I slid an announcement into the bulletin, very, very last, which I've been trying to find room for weeks now. If you have a favorite hymn that you would like included in our morning service, just drop a note. There's some little pieces of paper cards in the pews there. Just drop a note in the offering plate and we can get that included. I am always surprised when I hear someone say to me, when we sing a hymn on Sunday morning, oh, that was my one of my favorite hymns, because we all have different hymns that we like. And I'm especially, let's see, I can get away with this because Jeffrey's not here today. I'm always surprised when Jeffrey tells me that, because usually it's a Swedish hymn that I've never heard of before or never sung. And he just enjoys some of those historical kinds of hymns. As some of you know, I grew up in the Lutheran Church, but my background is Scottish, and so the Swedish, which was on my mother's side, Swedish-German, appealed to her, but not so much to me. I like the Celtic hymns and the Celtic music. As we begin, if you'd like to turn to 920 in your hymnal, and we can read this together. This is the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi that most of you, probably all of you, are familiar with. And if you'd stand with me as we read it together. And as we read it, let's make it a prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born into eternal life. And then in your hymnals, beginning of your hymnals, number 10, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
We come to you, O gracious Father, today with joy in our hearts because you are our God. In addition, you are the only true God, the Most High God, holy. We honor you and glorify you, praise you and bless you with all believers all over the world. Receive our praise. Receive our glory, receive our honor as sweet incense to your throne. Precious Lord Jesus, we honor you, Son of the living God and true God, one with the Father and one with the Spirit. In this time of the year, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice for all mankind. Whether they accept you or not, you still died for all, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be redeemed and saved, and look forward to glorious eternal future with you and our Father forever. We glorify you and honor you, the sweet name of Jesus. We exalt and glorify. And it is in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do you want me to push that in? Okay.
The first lesson is from Psalm 23, page 414 in your Pew Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second lesson is from John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. And that is page 819 in the Pew Bible. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Thank you, Evelyn. We believe in reading the Word of God out loud in our services. We can't read the whole Bible in one sitting, but we read portions of it because reading and speaking the Word of God is important. It's time to receive our morning tithes and offerings, and as I've mentioned before, we believe that God places on each of our hearts what to give, and because it is more important that we give out of love and joy than it is because we give just to give. And so we will receive the gifts of your heart today in the name of Jesus. Can I ask the ushers to come forward this morning? Have a word of prayer. All of our life is yours, Father God. All of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our gifts, all of our joys, all of our skills, all of our talents, and all that we have. Receive these gifts from our heart with joy and gladness as we give to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. you stand with me and let's give thanks to the Lord.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. I was reminded when Shirley was playing the offertory, what wondrous love is this, O my soul, and reminded that the blood of Jesus is what has saved and redeemed us. And in that light, I sense that the Lord is wanting us to pray for us today. We pray for missionaries. We pray for what's happening on the Iron Range. We pray for other churches, other pastors. And I just think it's a day that we should pray for us. So if you would pray with me. Lord Jesus, there is just no words to express our love for you, our gratefulness, our joy, our peace, and all that you have done in our individual lives. We stand here today still in need of you. For as you have said very clearly, truthfully, without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we can't even go forward into this day and deal with whatever unfolds. Without you, we cannot even go into the future without you. We can't even go to heaven without you paving the way, making the entrance, opening the door to eternal life. We also stand here today, Lord Jesus, in need, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, sometimes with needs of physical repair to buildings, vehicles, things around the house. Yes, even in these things, Lord, we ask for your help. We ask for your wisdom, which you have said you would give liberally, abundantly, freely, gladly, to any who ask. Lord, you know each of our lives and our hearts and our thoughts and the needs that we have. We need your wisdom. We need your strength. We need answers to our individual prayers, and so we pray for one another today, not knowing what those requests are, but agreeing in the name of Jesus with our brothers and sisters that those requests be met. We do this so that you would be honored and glorified. We do this so that our Father may be glorified in the Son. We pause our requests. And now thank you for all of your goodness. We thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for health and strength and joy and peace. We thank you that in the midst of a world of seeming chaos, you have given us a straight path. You have leveled the mountains and filled up the valleys for a straight path into the kingdom of the living God, but also a straight path for each day, because we have chosen to be followers of Jesus, disciples of the Master. We find it precious, Lord. Precious you. You fill our lives. Moment by moment, day by day, week by week. We also want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for each other. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the churches meeting around the Iron Range, and in each of those congregations, they too thank you for each other in those settings. And so beyond us, we thank you for each other within the body of Christ, all true believers. As we meet on the streets or in the stores, run into one another on occasion, day to day, week to week. But even if we don't run into them, Lord, we just thank you for the believers across the Iron Range and what you are doing for your kingdom, because it is you that matter. It is your kingdom that it matters. And is the ultimate glory to our Father God that matters. We know that you will glorify yourself and glorify our Father. And we choose to participate in that. In closing, Lord Jesus, we would ask that you would just pour a special blessing into our hearts this morning, encouraging us, giving us hope and a future, as you have promised in your word. We will accept that. We will thank you for all of your goodness and seal it in your precious and holy name. The name of Jesus. Amen. We can continue with hymn number 435. Day by day and with each passing moment. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. Gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly its part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name
His counselor and power, the protection of His child and treasure, is a charm that on Himself He laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Beautiful hymn filled with hope. Probably didn't notice, but all of the hymns we sing today are from the 1700s and 1800s. That dates us, doesn't it? Well, at least it dates the believers. So I hope this morning you will be challenged. I'll use that word. I know you will be challenged. Let me put it this way. As we look at the women in the life of Jesus, the women in the life of Jesus were mothers and wives and daughters and mothers-in-law, servants, prostitutes, adulteresses, demon-possessed, labeled sinners by the social elite and the social religious of Jesus' day. In addition, women of God in the Old Testament were concubines, slaves, matriarchs, prophetesses, hard word for me to say, judges, leaders of Israel, queens. In Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, four women are referred to. All of them were key in the line of bringing the Messiah to us. Tamar was the daughter of Judah through incest and adultery. Rahab, a prostitute, just as the Israelites entered into the promised land at Jericho. You remember the story. Ruth. We remember Ruth because of her great devotion to her mother-in-law, and because of her mother-in-law and because of her devotion, she moved her alliance from pagan gods to the true God of Israel. And most of us remember the rest of the story. And then Bathsheba, King David's wife, bought through adultery and murder. Except for one, that's kind of a, doesn't fit you ladies out here today. Ruth, okay, I get that. Devotion, all right. Some of the rest of that is kind of weird, isn't it? Kind of interesting to me that God, bringing Jesus into the world, used a variety of women with a variety of backgrounds. Moving on to the women in the life of Jesus, there were at least five Marys. And when you read the New Testament, it's easy to get confused. Now, which Mary is this? Now, in today's, the way we name people today, we would have a last name to go with it, or a letter, and so we could keep them kind of separate, who's who and who's doing what and so forth. So let's kind of go through these Marys. By the way, their name, you know how I like that the name of Jesus is Yeshua, because that is his given name. Well, the given name for Mary was actually Miriam. And of course, through the translations into the Greek, into the Latin, into the English, we end up with Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was called the favored one in Luke chapter 1 when the angel came to her. She was also called blessed, also in Luke chapter 1. And so if you hear this title, Blessed Virgin Mary, all three of those words are correct. We're also told about Mother Mary that she kept all these things hidden in her heart. She was someone who captured, held, lockbox, your little jewelry box thing if you have a little lock on it. She kept everything in her heart that was happening to her son, Jesus. And we know the frustration, which was predicted, by the way, to her at the time of the early days of Jesus, that she would get confused about what was happening, that she would be hurt by what was happening. But at the wedding at Cana in Galilee, when people came to her and said, "We've got a problem," remember what Mary said? "Do whatever he says." So in the midst of all her confusion and not knowing where the future was, one thing we know for sure, Mother Mary trusted her son Jesus, trusted him implicitly. She had no idea what he would do, but she said, "Do whatever he says." That tells us a little bit about the faith and heart of this woman. At the crucifixion, Jesus sort of returned the favor and said to his disciple John, "Your mother," and to Mary, "your son." It's kind of a perplexing thing for Jesus to do on the cross. I mean, after all, Mary had other sons. And as you know, in the Jewish tradition, and we sort of have that today in a way, once the dad dies, the eldest son becomes the head of the household and takes care of mom and the rest of the family. And so we know that's what Jesus did for 30 years, is to take care of his mother and the rest of the family, the kids, until they were old enough to get out on their own. I kind of sense that at the cross, he still felt that obligation, because the Old Testament tells us that it's one of the premiums of God to care for the widows Mary was a widow. And so as Jesus is dying, I believe that he affirmed the word of God and the need that God has mentioned over and over again in the Old Testament, that the widows need to be cared for, and so somebody had to do that. And his disciple, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was the appointed one. We know toward the end of the Gospels that Mary, though she was in opposition to Jesus for a while, Mary became a believer and a disciple and a key part of the New Testament church. The second Mary, Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, the one who sat and learned at Jesus' feet while Martha was busy. Let's not diss Martha too much, because Martha had a gift. It was called hospitality. And that was a good thing. The only thing that Jesus took issue was with the priorities. Mary's priority was more important than hospitality, and I'm sure some of you ladies have done the same thing. You're preparing lunch for a family gathering, and in the midst of that, somebody arrives, and you just pause for a minute to talk with the person. The person becomes more important in that second than the rest of the preparations. Or maybe you enlist the help of other people to make sure the preparations get done. I'm sure Thursday night was something like that. Plenty of hands. What was the old saying? Many, many hands make light work, or something like that. Mary, the sister of Martha, anointed Jesus' feet with perfume, technically perfumed oil, and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary was at the tomb of Jesus. There are a couple of other Marys that we don't know much about. Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph. James the Less simply means it wasn't the mother of James the disciple, and it wasn't the mother of James, the brother of Jesus, obviously, because that was the Mary we talked about to begin with. And it's kind of confusing if you read through the New Testament. But in one passage, it's made very clear, because all three of those Marys are listed separately. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary at Bethany, Mary, the mother of James, and of course, Mary of Magdala. Before we get to her, there's one other Mary, the wife of Cleopas, one of those disciples we believe that met with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. We don't know anything more about her. But it kind of amuses me that we've got five Marys. And the last Mary, of course, is Mary of Magdala. Magdala was a town on the west coast of the Sea of Galilee, right at where the hump is, in the province of Galilee, which was the northern part of Israel. So it was Galilee, Samaria, and then Judea on the south. And if you recall, Jerusalem was right on the border between Judea and Samaria. So this was the northern province, and Jesus spent a lot of time in the northern province of Galilee. Mary of Magdala, we are told, was demon-possessed when Jesus met her. We are told in Mark 16 that Jesus delivered her of 7 demons. I wish we had a full account of that. We're told that Mary of Magdala, by society, was considered a sinner. In other words, she was a social reject. We're also told that she was a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. Mary of Magdala, that we call Mary Magdalene, was the one who anointed Jesus' feet, wept over him, anointed his feet with her tears, and kissed his feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. And of course, Mary of Magdala was at the tomb, and we've looked at that story over the last several weeks. I want to pause here for a minute and ask you, would these ladies be allowed in a Christian church today? What would happen if one of these ladies came in and said, "We've got a problem in Virginia, Minnesota, and I told the county board to do whatever Mike says"? We think that's ridiculous, right? Or what would you think if a lady came into the church today, or one of you, in the midst of the sermon, would come up here with a washbowl or a vial of oil? You can sense, I hope, how socially weird these ladies are. Or even worse, come up here and just start crying and weeping. And as we're told of Mary Magdalene at the tomb, holding on to Jesus, I picture that as her holding on to his legs, because I think she was probably kneeling and he was standing, holding on for dear life, or for dear love, for that matter. There were other women in the life of Jesus, mother of James and John, the two disciples, the Zebedee guys. Do you remember her? "I want you to put my two boys, one on your left hand and one on your right hand." Pretty bold lady, I would say. There's the mother of John Mark. We know him as Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Don't know much about her. The mother-in-law of Peter, who Jesus came and healed from an illness. And then, of course, Martha, that I mentioned before, devoted follower of Jesus. So again, don't put her down so much just because she was busy. That was her gift. We find her busy several times in the gospel. If you've got the gift of hospitality, my opinion, go for it. I like that. And then, of course, the two that are probably just as famous, the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well that Jesus met in John chapter 4, converted her life, turned the whole town around, her testimony. And then, after her testimony, what was the testimony of the rest of the town? We no longer believe because of her testimony. We have found the truth for ourselves. But it was her testimony that sparked the revival. And then finally, the woman caught in adultery. Obviously, a social reject, a social misfit that Jesus just simply forgave. It's kind of a curious story, as you know. Why did he stoop down in the ground and write in the sand? And you can read theologians and commentaries, get all of their opinions. So I might as well give you mine. And remember, now this is Mike's opinion. It's not the word. This is Mike's opinion. I think he stooped down and wrote in the sand to delay the fury of these hypocritical guys who brought her to trap him. And it worked. We find at least five ladies listed at the cross. We're not told where the disciples were at the time. We do know John was there, but the ladies were there at the cross. We're told that at least six women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus after his death. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, Salome, Joanna, and we're told others, plural. Now I'd like to talk about these ladies. Unmatched devotion. Anointing Jesus' feet. Kissing Jesus' feet. Weeping over him out of just unbridled love and compassion. Supporting Jesus financially. So I'd like to read that out of Luke chapter 8. The first three verses. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. We're told in the New Testament that these women ministered to Jesus, which in our language today would be served him. Served means doing tasks that needed to be done. I don't know what those tasks are. I don't know if it was running for a cup of coffee or what it was, but they served Jesus. And just a kind of a humorous note, they were at the tomb before the guys got there. We're told that one woman had great faith. Faith so great that she crawled through a crowd that wasn't letting her get near Jesus just to touch the edge of his cloak, because she knew if she did, she would be healed. And she was healed. Another testimony of great faith. Remember the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus? Now, Syrophoenicia meant that she was from a district or country called Phoenician Syria, which was to the left, west. Yeah, I guess west is better than left, because you don't know where my left is going. West and north of Israel, Gentile. And she came to Jesus, and remember Jesus' response, I'm here to give the food to my people of Israel. Remember her response? Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And she got her request. Great faith. Takeaways. Ladies with radical, socially unacceptable devotion. Ladies with radical, unbridled giving. So, of course, I had to look that up, because we're told in the New Testament that that vial of perfumed oil was worth a year's wages. And so I had to look that up. What is a year's wages worth today? And according to the U.S. minimum wage, according to the IRS single person poverty wage, and according to what a denarius is worth today, and you know that the minimum wage for a working man at the time of Jesus was a denarius a day. They worked 6 days a week. So yes, I like math, so I computed that all out. And in all three cases, it comes out to $15,000, within 60 bucks of that. $15,000. She wrote out one check, $15,000, and gave it to Jesus. I call that radical giving. Radical, aggressive caregiving. But women are caregivers, aren't they? And there are times in your life you have probably done that. Radical, aggressive caregiving. Above and beyond, almost burned yourself out. And maybe sometimes almost burned yourself out with frustration and anger, depending on who you're providing the caregiving to. Radical compassion. This is the kind of compassion we have never seen in our lives, have we? This is full-blown compassion. Ignoring what society thinks, ignoring what the disciples think, ignoring what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious folk think, just loving Jesus. Radical, humiliating, aggressive, personal attention to Jesus. Oh yes, one more note. Following Jesus in the shadows. The guys were getting the limelight. They just went along serving Jesus, loving Jesus, staying out of the spotlight, happy to stay out of the spotlight. I call that passion, personal passion for Jesus. Okay, guys, I can't leave you out. So let's apply this to us. Handshakes. Can I take it a step further? Can we hug? Oh, socially unacceptable. I won't go to anointing, okay? Although I've been anointed by groups of men through my years, anointed for prayer, for healing, anointed for ministry with oil and prayer. Get together with group of believers of men, and sometimes we do those things, but we like to keep it kind of out of the spotlight, don't we? But let's be filled with joy. We love Jesus. Amen? We love Jesus, and I'll say this with a passion that is so furious and so deep that it takes work to keep it socially acceptable or modest or whatever word you want to put to it. But there may be times, men and women, and I know there have been times in my life, I'm kind of a person who isn't too interested in what's socially acceptable anyway. I just kind of go off the rails some of the times. But there's probably going to be times in your life where Jesus is going to call you to be like one of these ladies and do something just out of bounds for him. Let's pray together. It is really hard, Lord, to understand these ladies and their passion for you, their passion for the kingdom. Hard for us to understand Mother Teresa and her passion for you. It's hard for us to understand the martyrs of the first 5 centuries who went to their death because of their passion for you. But we can ask this. Help us to find a passion like these ladies had. A passion for you and a passion for your kingdom and a passion for our God that just goes off the rails, that you might be glorified and honored. And we thank you for your help with this project, because it's a big one. In your name, Jesus, amen. One final thought. We've got 3 ladies living next door in the parsonage. Catholic. I call them ladies. I don't know why. Ladies is probably an old fogey word or something. They're really college-age girls, okay? Young adult women. Something like that would probably be more socially acceptable. Every time I've gone over there, and we've had a few problems with plumbing and stuff at the parsonage this last 9 months that they've been renting from us. Every time I've gone over there, oops, I need to tell you, these 3 girls are from Holy Spirit Catholic Church. They are doing their internship for their licensure of teaching I don't know if that's Catholic licensure or whether it's public school licensure, but they're over there helping out at the school. Every time I've gone over to the parsonage, ring the doorbell, one of them comes and opens the door, and I ask permission to go in and to fix something. They're getting very used to me. Every time I've gone over there, you know the word I hear out of their mouth? Jesus. And that just blesses me. I told the Sunday school class last week, pay attention to who gets chosen as the new pope. So I've done a little research this week, which I'm not going to have time to tell you about this morning. But I think God's got something happening in the world today. Catholics and Protestants, unbelievers, believers, I think God is at work in the world today. And it just excites me. Our last hymn is hymn number 11. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Would you stand with me? Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mount, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, joining all within its span. Ever singing, march me onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life. I'd ask visitors, if you would, sign our guest book, which is to the left, just as you exit. I'd appreciate that. We have a tradition here of ending our service by singing the blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. But it's to a tune that may not be familiar with you. So if it's not familiar with you, don't worry about it. We'll sing it to you, okay? And we just sing it to one another and bless each other in the name of Jesus as we close.
on you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you.
I didn't get to shake your hand earlier. Good morning. Good